Bo, I was absolutely ready to read that Washington Post feature on you, and then the paywall came up, and I still
The
haven't bit the bullet on the
only
Washington Post. So
paywall
if
worth
anybody has a
paying
free
for.
copy of it, email it to me.
I read it. It
Yeah,
was really good.
don't pay to read about me.
I'll just look at the
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Izzy Gutierrez. That's the Hamburglar. Let's go.
I read the article. I got past the paywall, and you're gonna make fun of me?
You wore that shirt.
Yes,
It's
sounds
a
like you
striped
might
shirt.
have.
Should the Packers give 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers a massive new contract?
Okay, keep in mind that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be the NFL MVP because he was so good this year. The problem is, the Packers also decided to take a quarterback in the first round in 2020, which means that they had already started the clock on what to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Look, man, if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback and he looked like he did last season, then you keep Aaron Rodgers around as your quarterback. If for no other reason, then Jordan Love really doesn't have much of a chance of success if you run Aaron Rodgers out of there early, right? Imagine that dude comes out here and struggles for a couple games after you put Aaron Rodgers on the pavement and told him to kick rocks. No, man, that's not going to work. Now, Rodgers isn't set to make that much money after the 2021 season. He has a contract that is affordable. They'll probably need to put more money on it. And guess what? That's what you do until either A, you are sure that Jordan Love is an NFL quarterback, or you are positive that Aaron Rodgers is not. And I have seen nothing to indicate that Aaron Rodgers is not an NFL quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're trying to get you here with the 30, or trying to get us with the 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers. But we're watching Tom Brady hit the Super Bowl at 43. And what about this year makes you think that the fall off is coming next year or the year after that for Aaron Rodgers? Even if there is a slight fall off, what are we talking from what, top three to top 10? That's still something that you keep in-house. That is still something that you definitely pay when there are reports that Jordan Love in practice is having trouble hitting stationary targets. Okay. If that is the guy that is your future, you definitely hang on to Aaron Rodgers, regardless of the price or how great of a fall off here. The interesting part to me is, do they really know him? Or is there a plan ever? Because what is their excuse now for Jordan Love? If they say, we're not idiots, of course Aaron Rodgers is coming back, then what is your plan with the guy you drafted last year? Is it to have him wait 4 years? Is it to make him maybe even change positions? What is the plan here? If you thought it was for motivational tactics, you don't know your quarterback. This guy is like a spiritual searcher, goes all over the world trying to find, find himself. So it's just odd that they don't know. It doesn't seem that they know who Aaron Rodgers is, or what he wants, or what makes him tick. And, they should find themselves fortunate that he would sign an extension or another deal with him, because if I were him, I'd be out of it.
It's also just kind of funny that when they drafted Jordan Love, everybody was like, should Aaron Rodgers be worried? And it's like, well, no, because all Aaron Rodgers has to do is continue being Aaron Rodgers, and then it's going to end up screwing over the team for making a decision to draft Jordan Love. I mean, obviously they could get something for him, but that's hard when he hasn't proven anything. And I would say this is similar to a Jimmy G situation, except I don't know how hot Jordan Love is. So I don't know if that's going to help him get this mystique that everybody wants to pay money for just because of who he's behind. I think that Aaron Rodgers has made it clear it is not fair that currently, right now, I think he's making about as much money as Jared Goff, and then next year he'll be more in the class of like Teddy Bridgewater in terms of money. You have to pay him and keep him. Bo made the argument that I was going to make. He had a great season, and you pay him until he's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. And it is kind of the value of Tom Brady playing to 43 that now people at 38, teams have to be like, well, hold on, he could keep going for a while. And so do you take that risk? And like you said, Izzy, the team came out and said, we're not dumb. We're going to keep Aaron Rodgers around. So that's what they're going to do. It's what they say they're going to do. It's what you have to do. And the next question is, what are you going to do with Love?
None of us know anything about Jordan Love. This is the wildest thing about this as it goes. Like this, on one level, you get why they took him, because they felt like they were in the 20s and they got a quarterback they thought was good, so they had a chance. Hardly ever does anybody actually get a good quarterback in the 20s of the draft, except one of them was Aaron Rodgers.
They tried to get lucky twice.
Yeah, right. This worked before.
Is it time to put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it is that wonderful time of year where we start talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame voting, but it's getting a little bit trickier because we're in that window of time where basically everybody that should be in the Hall of Fame and isn't in the Hall of Fame got that whole steroid thing over their heads. Now, is it time to put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame? If it wasn't time before, it's not time now. I always thought it was time to put those guys in the Hall of Fame, though. So, yes, I am inclined to say yes. My argument with Barry Bonds has always been, this dude had 400 home runs and 400 stolen bases before anybody thinks he started injecting anything. That's a Hall of Fame combination of statistics right there. You put that guy in, you can make a very similar argument for Roger Clemens if you want to. But if you're not going to put those guys in, can you at least get around to putting in the greatest defensive center fielder of all time, Andrew Jones? Like, for whatever reason, while you're going ahead and doing this ridiculous stuff with those two guys, this dude's the best center fielder there ever was, and he hit 400 home runs, and we're having to convince you to even think about putting him in the Hall of Fame, which is to say, none of you guys make any sense on any level on anything that you do with the Hall of Fame. So if you're going to be a hater on those guys for steroids, how about marveling at one of the greatest athletes you've ever seen play baseball and put him in?
I mean, I respect the cape up for Andrew Jones out of nowhere. That was a good one. Curveball came out of nowhere. But I think the issue with this to me is like, and part of the reason why it's newsy this year as opposed to every other year is because I guess if none of the questionable, controversial guys get voted in, then maybe no one's going to get in this year. And, you know, that's sort of mind-boggling to me as well. But the question to me is, what are our shared values as a sports country, right? Because baseball shouldn't hold itself higher than any other sport, right? Where we've got a sport in Tom Brady where, you know, you could say he cheated with the deflated balls. You don't know how much that helped him. You could say, I mean, he's getting younger and it's a little questionable as to what he's doing to do that, right? And nobody's going to question his greatness. Nobody's going to question his first ballot Hall of Fameness. And you can go to Olympians with Carl Lewis, depending on, you know, what you know about him and what you think about him. Unless you really dive deep, we think of him as one of the greatest, and if there was an important Hall of Fame that people connected to track and field, they would, you know, of course, think Carl Lewis is there. So why baseball? You know, the interests cross, like sports fans' interests cross over from basketball to baseball to football. Writers cross over from basketball to baseball to football. Why can't the values just be the same? And we just tell baseball, hey, unless there's an absolute found guilty and you can tell that that's the reason why that player is not a Hall of Famer, then just vote them in and stop holding yourself so much higher than everybody else. That's what I think about this.
There is nothing. I feel pretty confident saying there is nothing I hate more than talking about the Hall of Fame in sports, because there are so many things that contribute to it and so many arguments about it that I don't like saying stuff I'm not entirely sure of on television, which is why I'm not very good at television. But I don't know exactly where I land on the Hall of Fame. And one reason for that is because it's like the final boss of the arguments we have while guys are doing things that are bad while they're playing. It's like we have that conversation. There's the steroid testing. There's the question mark around steroid testing. Are they even doing it? Are they like cracking down on it the way they're saying that they care? And then they get out, they put up Hall of Fame numbers, and then it comes around to vote them into the Hall of Fame, and people are like, yeah, but they did steroids. But it's like, yeah, but if the sport didn't want them doing steroids, then the sport could have done a lot more about them not doing steroids. So then it's like, let them in. Same thing with like people doing off the field things. Same thing with somebody who's particularly controversial for me, a Red Sox fan, Curt Schilling. It's like you get this argument from one side that nothing other than how they played and the sport that they played and the numbers they put up matter, but then that doesn't apply to the steroids guys, because then people are like, but they use steroids to get their numbers. There's so much of this. And I think the only solution I've come up with is that if you put a guy in the Hall of Fame who is bad, did bad things, then you got, maybe there's a separate wing of the Hall of Fame for bad people who were good at baseball. I don't know how to fix this problem. I think this conversation is ultimately boring because I don't have control over who goes in. I don't have a vote.
Hang
I know
on,
if I did,
on,
where
Katie,
I'd spend it, what?
I don't think you can get away with this one. When you come out of the gates with, this is my least favorite subject, I'm bad at TV and I don't know the answer. And then when you finally get to the answer, it's, oh yeah, the Bad Boys wing, which sounds like a great thing. I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, until Kurt Schilling shows up, right? And this is the thing for me, though. No. Schilling is the one for me because I am adamant about this. Kurt Schilling is a no-brainer, 100% Hall of Famer, period. I long ago made peace with the reality that there's some terrible people who have good things in life happen to him. Kurt Schilling will get into the Hall of Fame and have plenty of company for a lot of the reasons that people want to keep him out of there. It won't make you feel good to listen to his induction speech. Who knows what he would ultimately say? But there is no argument against that dude being a Hall of Famer. We just want the Hall of Fame to make us feel good. And sometimes it might make you feel bad.
Up next on HQ.
He is a lightly regarded football recruit. What do we have?
I mean, when is this clip from? This looks like the 80s. This is what the 80s looks like.
Oh, no.
Wow. Carlisle is dominating, though.
I'll take that. Yep.
Wait,
there you go.
What is going on here? What is exactly happening?
No. Wow. Stop it. The camera guy didn't even know to move.
Do you question who had the more notable lowlight last night? Gary Trent Jr. or Jamal Murray?
All right, let us go start here with Gary Trent Jr. He played for Portland, right?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Whoa! That's a flop, ladies and gents.
I mean,
that's the type of flop that needs to go to the immediate third level of fine. Because, yeah, he got fouled. But then he did that move that you see on videos where, like, dogs jump over fences and they just go full, like, layout like that. I mean, come on. You have got...
It was a flying squirrel. I mean, he did a flying squirrel.
Half-game suspension for that, Gary Trent. It's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, if you're going to publicly go by anything junior, like you're going to bring the family name into this, you got to behave better than that. Now let's get a look at Jamal Murray.
Points tonight for Hardaway. All of his baskets have been twos.
What? What?
Murray. Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He didn't just, he went like full,
front
like
to back?
Popeye, you know, uppercut and ooh.
Did he have a hand in the front and a hand in the back? Did he have like a, did he smush?
I just want to remind everybody that Jamal Murray is for Canada, and that's right, buddy. We don't get down like that here.
I mean, which one's worse, that or the Draymond kick? Because Chris Paul generally kind of gives you a tap and go. But these two, the Draymond kick is a full, you know, leg to the groin. And this was, like I said, it was a solid uppercut. And as Katie mentioned, a little reach around action.
I didn't say that. Katie didn't mention that. Please don't attribute that to Katie. Please don't attribute what you just said to Katie.
Do you question what Blaine Gabbert was going for with this Instagram post?
Blaine Gabbert, still in the NFL. Apparently, he is Tom Brady's backup, and he must have a great agent, because how is he still in the league? What does that say?
Oh, I'm not looking at the right screen.
Does it say gangsters move in silence?
No. What? No, what? Is that Lil Wayne? Is he trying to, like, G's move in? Is that what's happening? What's up?
Well, I mean, honestly, since nobody's known where he's been all year, you could argue he has been moving in silence, like a G.
Sure, but
are you going
also
to make the argument that he's a gangster? Like, is that the next step of this level? Is that the play that you're trying to make here?
Unless that's the reason he's been in hiding, but no, that's not the play I'm trying to make.
Why are either of them in a picture with a caption that says "gangsters move in silence"?
Can I workshop something with you guys?
I guess so. Might as well.
All right. So my name, Israel Gutierrez.
Okay.
Real G's move in silence like is. Israel G.
What's up?
Real G.
No. Izzy? Izzy. So let me start by saying this is coming from
I move in silence.
Love.
Do you question how much credit we should be giving number 23 for getting these buckets?
All right, we have been told that this is varsity basketball in Louisiana. The young man's name is Carlisle. He is a lightly regarded football recruit. What do we have?
I mean, when is this clip from? This looks like the 80s. This is what the 80s looks like.
Oh, no.
Wow. Carlisle is dominating, though.
I'll take that. Yep.
Wait, there you go.
Second. What is going on here? What is exactly the happening?
No, no, no. Wow. Stop it. The camera guy didn't even know to move.
Am I the only person noticing, by the way? If you go back and look at those clips and look at the bench, nobody's on it.
Is that what you're looking at?
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how it is that these guys could be so terrible and still be playing basketball. And the answer is, apparently, they're the only five guys on the team.
One guy is clearly not to be.
Whoa, does that say 31
game
to nothing? Hold
31
on.
To nothing.
Scoreboard says 31 to nothing?
In what?
And it's a layup guy.
Oh, boy.
No, we can't give too much credit to Carlisle. This looks like when you go play the video game on the lowest level, right? Like, that's all this is. That is what this is.
You just keep hitting square until you eventually get the steal and you never get the foul, and there you go. It's a layup line.
Is this how you hit square? Is this how you hit square?
Also, are Carlisle's teammates also sorry? Because like, he could pass it to one of them and let them get a bucket, but apparently he tried that once before and realized that that's not how we score points.
I just wish somebody looked excited about it. I feel like that's what makes me feel okay with saying he probably doesn't deserve all the credit, because even he's like, hey, can I have that? Thanks.
Up next on HQ.
He wasn't a phenom. He was Jimmer for dead. I'm not intrigued at this. Are you intrigued now?
I am not. And here's the reason. Like, Devin Booker scored 70 in the NBA, and people disregarded it, saying, it was a meaningless game. What is the statistical equivalent where you have to be impressed in this particular league? I'm going to go ahead and say it's at least triple figures. 70 doesn't do it for me.
Streaming online, I Am Athlete.
Ooh.
All right, this is Brandon Marshall's podcast. It's not every day that Brandon Marshall talks to a wide receiver that's bigger than him. Enter DK Metcalf, who's talking about the predictability of the Seahawks offense.
What happened to the Seattle Seahawks, bro?
I guess teams just started to figure us out.
Yeah.
We've been running deep ever since Pete got there. It's play action. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, go deep. Team just said, we just not going to let y'all go deep, so.
Nope, that is actually pretty much what happened, right? That is kind of sort of how it went. I do admit, though, I thought that we were going to get something a little bit more exciting out of DK Metcalf as opposed to they knew what we was doing. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued here because, look, I think the problem is, you know, we think that these offensive coordinators and these offensive geniuses are really that, geniuses. But if you listen to DK Metcalf, he's like, no, run the ball twice and then go deep. We'll do that all season. It's going to work like a charm. And when the wide receiver is telling you, hey, these tactics are not really working, you should probably listen to him. My guess is they said something during the season and Schottenheimer didn't adjust. There goes your job.
Yeah, I think you have a fair point about offensive geniuses, but we're talking about Brian Schottenheimer. That's a different category of things there. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm always intrigued by Brandon Marshall's podcast whenever we see a clip of it, because he's very good at getting people to open up. Yes, of course, I'm intrigued. Good for Brandon Marshall.
Tomorrow at 2:30 a.m. Eastern in China, the Shanghai Sharks versus the Southern Tigers.
Well, in case you were wondering what Jimmer Fredette has been up to, he's been over in China getting buckets. What kind of buckets? The dude scored 70 points the other day. Let's get a look at some of the highlights. There's Jimmer.
I mean, that was
clean,
there,
though.
Get up Monday night till 1 a.m. watching him play.
On purpose?
I mean, yeah.
Why?
Come on, he was a phenom in college.
He wasn't a phenom. He was Jimmer for dead. I'm not intrigued at this. Are you intrigued now?
I am not, and here's the reason. Like, Devin Booker scored 70 in the NBA, and people disregarded it, saying, it was a meaningless game. What is the statistical equivalent where you have to be impressed in this particular league? I'm going to go ahead and say it's at least triple figures. 70 doesn't do it for me. Oh, but good job, Jimmer.
You know what? I'm intrigued. If we're going to give Carlisle Smith credit for what he did, I think we can give Jimmer Fredette credit for what he... Fredette kind of sounds like credit.
Jimmer and the Sharks ended up losing that game 136 to 129.
I'm sorry?
Hold on. They didn't just lose. They lost by 7 points, which means that Jimmer is surrounded by dudes who think that maybe, just maybe, if he passed to somebody once or twice, they might win some games.
Good to see his game has not evolved one bit.
Not even a little. Not even a little. All right, that's all the time that we've got. Check out Katie Nolan's Sports with a Question Mark. It's a podcast. Easy Gutierrez, sideline reporting somewhere near you.
Okay, see you.
Bye.
When does one drop the myrrh? Does he ever just become Jim for dead?
No, because if you're you don't want people calling you Jimmy or James. It's Jimmer. That was a choice.